Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about the great promise that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray as we consider God's word. Lord, you teach us that we cannot live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from your mouth. So give us your holy word. We are the sheep that come to you. You're the good shepherd. Feed your sheep. Give us forgiveness, understanding, strength, and peace this day. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, there are many, many signs. Do you see all the signs? Obvious signs that Christmas is near. They're all over the place. There are Christmas lights everywhere. You can't drive through a neighborhood without seeing Christmas lights. A sign, Christmas is near. There are Christmas trees everywhere. You can still, I think, buy Christmas trees in places. A sign, Christmas is near. The stores and businesses, ads all over the place. Signs in their windows, 50% off, 30% off, 20% off. Come, Christmas sale. Signs that Christmas is near. Seems like this Christmas I've seen a lot of people with Santa hats. They're walking all over the place. Santa Claus hats. Christmas is near. And I've seen cars with the deer antlers on them. I guess that's a sign that Christmas is near. I don't know. All over the place. Today, as we're just 3 days away from Christmas, I want to talk about the sign that God himself gives. All those are man-made signs. What sign does God give at Christmas time? It's the sign given through Isaiah, some 750 years before Jesus ever comes. And the sign repeated to Matthew by the angel. The sign is quite simple, clear, straightforward. A virgin will conceive, now there's a miracle, and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. We've heard it many, many times, those of us that have been in the church. It's a common, perhaps the most famous Christmas prophecy. A virgin will conceive, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. What's God teaching us in this sign? He's trying to teach it to wayward, doubting King Ahaz, who doesn't really want the sign. There are three lessons that God would teach us in this sign. The first lesson God is teaching us, and this is especially for men, for women too, but especially for us proud, egotistical men who think we're in charge, who think we're in control, who think we can fix and do anything, and I'm one of them, so I understand, men. He's teaching us our utter helplessness when it comes to salvation. He is humbling, especially men. We have no part in God's work of salvation. I know that's hard for us to believe. I got to do something, we men say, because I'm proud. I can do it. I'm a man. We have absolutely no part in salvation. A virgin shall conceive, which means no man is needed. I don't need a man to bring this about. So men, you're humble. I don't need you when it comes to salvation. You can't help because you are helpless. You can't bring it about. You can't help me. You can't do anything to help me. A virgin is going to have a child. I don't need you, men. Be humble and believe. In the Old Testament, God brings about some miraculous babies in a way. But a man's involved. In Wednesday services, we've been talking about some of these. We talked about Sarah giving birth to Isaac. She's 90 years old. Abraham's 100 years old. And yet God still uses old Abraham. And Abraham could kind of put out his chest. That's my boy, that Isaac. I was 100 years old. He had a part in it. And we talked about Samuel, who was born to Hannah. Hannah was barren, couldn't have a child, and yet she then, by God's blessing, has a child, Samuel. And the father is Elkanah. And Elkanah can stick out his chest. Yeah, that's my boy. That's Samuel. I had a part in that. There's my boy. Get a cigar lit. I did that. And I also think of Rachel, who is barren, the other wife of Jacob. And yet God, by his grace, enables Rachel to have a child, two of them, Joseph and Benjamin. And Jacob could put his chest out. Yeah, That's my boy, that Jacob, that Joseph there. I did that. We men are always trying to fix something and do something because we're in charge, because doggone it, we're men. And God says, when I give my son, there's no man needed. And no man puts out his chest. Men and women get on their knees. For salvation is all my work. You don't do anything. And this is all the salvation history, not just the virgin birth. God needs no help in giving his son. And then when Jesus comes, the son, he needs no help in saving the world. He needs none. He's the one that bears sin. He's the one that lives the perfect life. He's the one hanging on the cross, bearing the sins of the world. He doesn't ask the disciples to help out. He does it all himself. He rises from the grave. He ascends into heaven. It's all the work of the Son. We don't do anything. And then faith. The Father gives the Son all by himself. The Son gives him life all by himself. And then faith is given by the Spirit. We don't have anything to do with it either. So don't think, well, I got to do something. I got to accept. I got to receive. I got to choose God. Baloney. You're dead in sins and trespasses. Dead people don't choose anything except death. It's the Spirit who comes upon us and breathes faith into us and keeps us in the true faith. He does all the work of faith in us. So we do nothing, men and women. It's all the work of God. And so we say, glory to God in the highest, say it with me. Glory to God in the highest. We don't say glory to God and men in the highest, because men, you help out. It's all glory to God. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think that Santa Claus got too much credit. I used to think that. You know, what does Santa really do? He doesn't make the toys, elves do. And then reindeer fly him around as he sits back in this chariot thing. And then Rudolph has the red nose and takes him everywhere. All that fat guy does is come through a chimney. And then he gets to eat cookies and drink milk. What's the guy really do? Gets all this help. Being silly. But I'm not being silly when I say that Jesus gets no help. He does it all. From coming to this earth, to dying and rising, to giving faith and keeping us in the faith, until we get to heaven, it's all his work. The helplessness of mankind. Be humble. Bow down. Don't stick out your chest. Secondly, this sign would teach us the holiness of Jesus. Our helplessness. And Jesus is the holy, pure, perfect baby. We ask the question, which I'm sure in the Old Testament they asked up to Jesus being born, or at least being conceived, and a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son. Well, how in the world is that going to happen? That's not the way that women get pregnant. They don't conceive and bear a child without a man. So how's it going to happen? And we're told that in the New Testament how it happens. And how does it happen? Matthew is told, because he doesn't understand either. It had to be another man. So I'm going to divorce Mary and get rid of her quietly, because I love her still. I'm a just man. And we're told, the angel tells Matthew what? And the angel tells Mary this too. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. So Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit and then born of the Virgin Mary. And this is not some little technicality of Christianity. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of Christians, if they're even Christian, that no longer believe in the virgin birth. And they don't believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, because it's just impossible. It doesn't happen. Well, it happened. And it's not some little technicality. For if Jesus was born naturally of a man and a woman, he would have had original sin. And how could he take away your sin? And how could he take away my sin? He too would have been a sinner. So his conception by the Holy Spirit and then born of the Virgin Mary is very important to salvation. For as he is conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is holy, he is perfect, he is pure. Therefore, he is the pure one, the Son of God. He then can take away my sins. He can take away your sins. We can dump them all on him, and then we are saved. This is critical to salvation, this miracle of God doing the impossible. The Holy One must come. He must be holy. Therefore, conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know, on Tuesday night, our family opens presents after church on Christmas Eve. And, you know, as you have at your opening a presents ceremony, we have all sorts of trash after it's done, wrapping people all over the place in various trash. And guess whose job it is usually to get the trash back? That's something the man has to do. Okay? I'll do that, although I get a little help. Now, easy, obvious, simple question. I grab a trash bag. What must be true of the trash bag for me to put trash in it? It must be empty. If I pick up a full trash bag full of other trash, I'm not going to get any other trash in the trash bag. Duh! It's got to be empty. Then you can fill it up. I am a full trash bag full of sin. That's why I can't bear your sin. You are full of sin. That's why you can't take anybody else's sin. You can't pay for your own. How can you pay for mine? We are like America. We're worse than America. $17 trillion in debt, and it's growing. We're never going to pay it back. It just keeps growing. And that's a picture of us. I'm full of sin. It just keeps growing. How can I ever take anybody else's sin? We need an empty trash bag. We need someone who's empty of sin, who's holy and pure, and that is Jesus. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because we have sin, original sin, from the minute we're conceived, as a one-cell little baby inside of a womb. He must take that away too, or we go to hell. A third thing we are taught in this sign is the total humanity of Jesus. He is totally 100% human. He is God, the second person of the Trinity, 100% God, but he's also fully human. Notice the language. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. That's all human. God does not just drop a person from the sky. Why doesn't God just drop an adult, mature Jesus from the sky and have him die and rise? He's not really human then. It's part of being human to be conceived. And you are human. You are a person when you're one cell inside the womb. This is why they go off on a tangent. While we strongly oppose abortion, it's murder. It's the murder of babies. More on that in January. You are human when you're one cell inside of mommy, as Jesus was. That was Jesus in there, God in there. And then you, 9 months in the womb, you're a person, you're human. And then you're born. This is the essence of humanity. This is how we come here. We don't come down from the sky. What is it? What bird is it? The stork that carries babies? We don't believe that, do we? Okay? Jesus has to be human. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. He's going to be human. Totally human. He's not an angel. He's not a robot. He's not an almost human. He's not an alien that God just sends down to do something. That wouldn't work. He must be fully human from conception to birth to life to death to resurrection to ascension if he's going to be our substitute. We are human. We're conceived in sin, born with sin, then we commit sins and live a life of sin, we die because of sin, all that's true of us, deserving hell. Christ came to be our substitute, to take our place because we can't save ourselves. Therefore, he has to be conceived pure, born pure, live a pure life, all that for us. Jesus' perfect conception is credited to us. That's faith. And so in Christ, I was conceived perfectly too. His perfect birth credited to me. I was born perfect too because of him. His perfect life credited to me. His death for my sins. I've already died my debt. I've already suffered hell in Christ. I don't have to fear hell. He took it away. He suffered it. He rose again, so I've already risen by faith too. He ascended into heaven. I'm going to ascend into paradise with him. He sits at God's right hand. I'm going to be at the right hand too. He's my substitute. All that Jesus is and does is now credited to me. And that's faith in baptism. That's faith in baptism. All that he is and does is now mine. From conception, birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension at the right hand of the Father. Human, God with us. It's almost an oxymoron, God with us. Good and evil together. How can it happen? By the mercy of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the cross. God makes it happen that he be with us, one of us, connected forever. When I was a kid growing up, I remember one Christmas, my brothers and I would always search for the presents beforehand. Any kids do that? When mom and dad aren't home, you look under the beds in the closets for your presents? Kids are good these days, aren't they? And we would always find presents under the bed when Mom and Dad were out. And my mom and dad, one Christmas, had bought us this cool basketball game where you flick a switch and it pops a ball up and you try to make baskets. And so we couldn't wait till Christmas to play the game. So when they were out, we played the game. We got it out from under the bed and opened it up and played the game. Then when we knew they were coming home, we put it back in the box and put it under the bed. But guess what happened? We broke the game before Christmas. Now, what do you do with a broken game before you ever get it? Well, would Mom and Dad be pleased if we bought a baseball game that was like it? Nah, that ain't going to work. Would they be pleased if we got a football game that was like it? That ain't going to work. How about another basketball game that's similar? That ain't going to work. You got to get the exact duplicate, a replacement, a substitute, if it's going to please Mom and Dad. Well, we didn't have the money to do that, so we just pleaded and begged and asked for forgiveness. And we got forgiveness, but we also got a broken toy for Christmas. That's how the story ends. Jesus can't come down just kind of like us. He can't come down almost human, an angel that looks like a human. He must come down as a real duplicate, a human, conceived, born, lived, died, rose, to be our substitute, to please the Father. To please the Father for us, so he's pleased with us as we have faith and happy and smiles at us today and every day. Read the sign. They're all over. But not just the lights and the trees. Look at this sign. A virgin shall conceive, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. What's God teaching? We are helpless. We don't bring it about. Salvation is all him. Christ is holy, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And he is human, our substitute, pleasing the Father for us. Praise be to God for this sign. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll sing the offertory.